For the 100th time, this is Grit and Glitter, the weekly podcast dedicated to the power of women's wrestling. My name is Harley R. Padgett.
And I'm Emily Fear! Woo-hoo!
We made it to 100 episodes. The haters said we wouldn't. They said we would fail after episode 3. They said nobody wants to listen to you talk about the indies. Talk about Alexa Bliss. Talk about that crazy doll that she's got. That's the best. We said no thanks.
They were like, you're not talking about Becky Lynch. Why aren't you talking about Becky Lynch? You should be talking about Becky Lynch. And we're like, but like, aren't you already talking about her? Like, isn't that pretty well covered at this point? Don't you want to hear about something new? And they're like, no, I don't like new. I hate new. But then we did it anyway. And here we are.
Perseverance, our number one trait, I suppose. That and just like just passion, honestly. That's the only reason we made it to 100 episodes, is that there's so much great stuff happening in the world of women's wrestling, especially on the American indies, that we're just, honestly, when we're preparing, we plan our schedules for the coming weeks, you know, a month or two ahead of time. We plot out like, okay, well, that show is going to be coming up on the beginning of October. We should do an episode covering that show. Obviously, it's going to be a big one. But we just have so many ideas. We literally can't fit them all onto the schedule. We've had ideas for a while now. They were like, I don't know, maybe someday we'll find time. But right now, we just don't have the time.
Yeah, Harley's like the big master schedule keeper, because I throw things out all the time, like, oh, we should interview so-and-so. We should interview so-and-so. And Harley's like, look at the schedule. We're completely booked. So, but I mean, that's all thanks to you, Harley, because honestly, I think if we were a different creative mix, we probably wouldn't have the kind of structure that we have now, because the field of women's wrestling and the things that we cover are so wide open, it would be very easy to get kind of formless and shapeless, but you keep us on task. And that's super important. That's why this show is as good as it is.
There's just so much more that I wish we were covering. We don't cover the Joshi promotions nearly enough. We kind of, our global spotlight series on women's wrestling kind of trailed off a little because we got so busy. We didn't get a chance to cover all the different countries that I wanted to. There are all sorts of like friends of ours that we'd love to have back on the show. Jackie Pratt, Ty Norman, Kristen Ashley. And it's just like, I don't know. I don't know where the time is. You know, we gotta start our own SmackDown, our own Rampage. 2 shows a week.
Well, but that's kind of what our Patreon does too. So like in the midst of all of this, when we spun off from the Torch, we developed a whole new realm where we can put extra stuff in. So this is just a like early plug for our Patreon. But like if you're not subscribed to our Patreon, you should consider getting in on there, because all this extra stuff, all these extra ideas we have, who knows where they will go? Maybe they don't happen on Grit and Glitter Classic. Maybe you jump into our Patreon, throw us $5 a month, and you get all the extra cool stuff that's coming at you.
All the enhancement interviews over on G&G Dark.
Yes, think of it as Grit and Glitter Elevation.
Because it's our 100th episode, we thought, let's reminisce a little. Let's look back on the past almost 2 years of episodes on how the Glitterati came to be. Because especially this season, and season 4 and season 5, which we're into now, our team has become so integral to the show. They're just as important to how we run things here as you and I are.
I mean, absolutely. From the get-go of Grit and Glitter, it wasn't just about us. It was about building a team to help support this like little creative baby that we've got. And we have quite the family now. But yeah, we should start from the beginning, right? Go way back to the year 2017.
Yeah, because there's a good chance that somebody listening to this right now hasn't listened to all 100 episodes. Hasn't been following us on Twitter for 4 years or whatever. So let's go back. You know, we've been wrestling fans for a long time, me longer than you. But I joined the Pro Wrestling Torch in November of 2017. I had been a wrestling fan for years. I didn't have any friends, so I wasn't even on Twitter at that point. I checked that this morning. I joined Twitter February 2018, kind of as a result of me joining the Torch first. At the time, in the fall of 2017, I was just a guy who loved wrestling and had nobody to talk about it with. I read the Torch every day. Wade Keller, Torch editor, put out a call looking for somebody to do written reports on weekly ROH television. I'd been covering ROH, I'd been watching ROH as a fan for like 6 years. I said, I could do that. I can write a TV report. I'm a good writer. I went to school for English. So I joined the Torch in November 2017 doing ROH written reports. Within a month, Wade came back to me and said, hey, would you also like to be a part of this new roundtable podcast I'm putting together covering NXT? I'd never been on a podcast before. I'd never done a podcast before, but I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. And then a month after that, he came back to me again and said, hey, would you also want to cover Ring of Honor in podcast form? Would you want to host your own weekly ROH podcast? Free reign, however you want to do it, whoever you want to host it with, totally your call. I called the show Talking Honor. I went on Twitter. I found a young woman from Pittsburgh, not Emily Fear, a different young woman from Pittsburgh, coincidentally enough, named Lola Bradbury. And on January 30th, 2018, we recorded the pilot episode of Talking Honor. Now, Lola left after episode 11 to go do other things. I believe she was involved or is still involved in your local promotion, Rise.
She is no longer a part of Rise Wrestling, which is okay. I think she's actually kind of out of the world of wrestling, period, and focusing her energies on film and TV coverage. So good for Lola.
Following episode 11, I was looking for some new co-hosts. I tried out some different people week to week. I had friends on, like Tom Staub from the NXT podcast. But I knew that the wrestling media landscape is dominated by men, especially straight men, especially white men. And as a straight white man, I wanted to use the platform that I had to try to bring some different voices into these conversations. So when Lola left, I mean, when I found Lola in the first place, it's because I was specifically looking to bring a woman on as a different voice in the conversation. And when Lola left, I knew I definitely wanted to find somebody else to join that conversation.
But who would that someone be?
I didn't have anybody in particular in mind. I didn't know anybody who was covering or watching Ring of Honor at that time. So I remember literally just going on Twitter in the spring of 2018 and searching the Watch ROH hashtag and looking for women who had been tweeting about recent ROH developments. One woman out of Pittsburgh had just attended the recent set of ROH television tapings. And so I messaged her and said, would you like to come on as a guest co-host?
That's right, everyone. And that plucky young upstart from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania was none other than me, Emily Fear. A true wrestling fan baby, newly into the world of wrestling, introduced to ROH via my husband, who had gotten back into wrestling because of a back injury. His injury was my super gain because he didn't even know what he was doing when he brought me into the world of pro wrestling. When he introduced me to pro wrestling and got me into some of the stories that were happening in ROH and in New Japan around that time, he created a monster. So April of 2018, I attended the ROH tapings in Pittsburgh. This was the first tapings following that year's Supercard. So there was a lot of interesting stories going on at that point. I was really jazzed to get to go to my first like real live wrestling event and a TV taping nonetheless. Really, if you're going to go all the way, that's all the way. And who should reach out to me like a mere like week or two later, but some random Canadian dude who's like, hey, I have a show, quotations, would you want to be on it? And I'm like, puh, dude, heard that before. I'm not getting in that van. But no, it was a legitimate offer from someone legitimately with the Pro Wrestling Torch, and that person was Harley R. Patchett, and that show was Talking Honor.
Talking Honor, episode 14, May 1st, 2018. The first time you came on, I'd just been trying out different guest co-hosts week by week just to fill time. But legitimately, after one episode together, we just clicked. It seemed perfect. Like, you got my sense of humor. You brought some good energy to the table that I needed in a co-host for sure. And, you know, then as we get to know each other better, it's like, oh, we're both born in 1985. I was an English major who wanted to be a librarian as a kid. You are a librarian now. We have similar tastes in music. It just, like, it seemed like some nice happenstance.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that were kind of neatly lined up in our favor. I mean, we're both around the same age. We both are like come to wrestling in different paths, but we also come to it through a lens of like of indie music and indie show running and things like that. So I think we both have a special fondness for independent wrestling that brings into the aesthetic punk elements or elements of Riot Girl and et cetera. I just immediately felt like you were a person that understood my wavelength and also somebody who would like be very patient as I kind of learned wrestling terminology and learned how to podcast properly with you and could not have asked for a better introduction to this experience. And here we are years later, and I'm still learning from you.
I went back, I listened to that first episode from you joining the show, and the first thing we talk about after introductions is the women's division in ROH. The first thing we talk about is how excited we are about the possibility of multiple feuds, about how great you think Deonna Purrazzo is. You know, 3 years ago feels a lot longer, but right from the start, that those seeds were planted too, that we were both very invested in the women's division, in women's wrestling, that we cared about the success of the women in wrestling, that we wanted to see more from them.
Kelly Klein, Deonna Purrazzo.
Yeah, that was something that they've set in place a little bit before. They had their altercation at Masters of Craft.
Yeah, they've been feuding kind of for like a year and a half now, it seems.
Yeah, they've been it was kind of a little bit like simmer, and now it's like definitely above surface. And most recently the call out in Masters of Craft, and so now that they had their match on Friday and then a repeat kind of on Saturday.
Yeah, so Friday night they had an actual match. Deonna won with a pinfall. Oh, it was like a jackknife pin, I think. Yeah. Now I remember. Kelly went for end of the match, her submission move, and Deonna turned into a jackknife pin and got the surprise pin. And then they had a pull apart afterwards, with referees and security all having to hold them back from each other. And then Saturday night, Deonna beats Ava Story. And Kelly jumps her after the match and beats her down again. So I like that this feud is continuing because they've been at each other on Women of Honor Wednesdays and other mediums for a while now. I'd have to go back and check records, but I'd say at least a year, I'm guessing. And I was surprised that they didn't meet in the Women of Honor tournament. I thought that was going to happen there for sure in the finals. Didn't work out that way. So I like that the feud is continuing here. And I particularly like that if this feud is continuing, that means there's going to be more than one feud happening in the women's division at the same time.
Which is great for the women's division because they need that. They need to build their stories. They need to build the storylines for their various wrestlers. Because it's been, I mean, they're still in such a nascent stage. So that's going to do a lot to really push them over. I remember one of the things that got me into Women of Honor, into like Deonna specifically too, was watching a few matches with her and Karen Q and really enjoying that rivalry, enjoying that dynamic, enjoying. I just generally enjoy Karen Q as a heel a lot, but this growing feud, they're pushing this feud now with Kelly and Deonna, and the more feuds in Women of Honor, the better, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely at a point because they weren't on TV. They were on Women of Honor Wednesdays, they were on YouTube, but not on the regular weekly television for so long. Even I've been watching ROH television weekly for 6, 7 years, something like that. And I still feel like I barely know a lot of the women in the division. Yeah, it looks like we're going to get multiple feuds. Sumi's going to be defending her title against somebody, feuding with them. Kelly and Deonna doing their thing in another area. And, you know, even WWE doesn't do that a lot. Lately, they've been a bit better, but there was a long period of time where on SmackDown, you'd have a feud for the women's title, and that was it. That was the only time you saw any women on TV that week. And they had 2 hours of television to fill.
It's interesting that our first episode together kicks off with that discussion because you're right, it's very much planting the seeds for the future.
But back in the spring of 2018, Emily and I toed the line for a good 9 months. We were excited about ROH. ROH in 2018 was firing on all cylinders, and things were looking very good.
You guys got to remember, this is prior to All Elite Wrestling. This was prior to the Bucks and Cody and everyone leaving. This was like a really exciting time to be an ROH fan, and this was a really interesting gateway for a lot of people because a lot of people got into New Japan, myself included, because of the stories that were currently running in 2018 in ROH and even into 2019. So like this was a really big time for this promotion. It just kind of didn't know what to do with its own success.
By February 2019, we had been toying with the idea of adding a third member to our team, again, in a quest to just bring in some different voices and increase diversity and amplification in the wrestling media scape. After a couple of weeks of going back and forth and doing a series of interviews with various personnel, we instead decided, instead of having a permanent third, what if we built our own team of correspondents instead? I'll admit, for the first time here on tape, and I don't think I've ever told you this either, I just stole this idea straight from The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And now The Daily Show was obviously a parody of like regular, you know, evening cable news or whatever. The idea of having like the sports guy and the weather girl and things like that. But something about the way that The Daily Show did it, I watched The Daily Show and I watched The Colbert Report every day at this point in time. And I just thought it was hilarious whenever they would bring in Samantha Bee or Lewis Black and they would have like a different job title each time. And I blatantly just took that idea for this show too. So when Tom came on the show to help us, sometimes he would be our sports entertainment correspondent. Sometimes he would be our Full Sail University correspondent. One time he would be like local Florida correspondent. And I took that same idea for like the fake titles. February 2019, we started to create our team of Talking or Honor correspondents. And that April, episode 65 of Talking Honor, April 17th, 2019, featured the debut of our local stardom expert, Megan Nielsen. I want to say we found Megan through Twitter, just like everybody else. I don't remember because it's been a couple years now. But we found Megan. Megan was watching ROH. They were watching Stardom. And you and I weren't that first in Stardom in the spring of 2019.
Yeah, there was a lot of elements of Stardom that we were familiar with by virtue of their partnership with ROH. There was some that I had started delving into on my own, just some of the background and some of like the previous years of their roster. But as far as what was happening in Stardom at that current moment, we really did need a resource to kind of brush us up on like what were the major players and who were the major figures in the promotion. And Megan filled that in perfectly.
Megan debuted on the show that April. They came back in May. They came back again in August. But by the summer of 2019, ROH wasn't in a great place. The Elite had left. SCU had left. Britt Baker, Brandi Rhodes. And the new ROH booking just frustrated us. A ton of low blows, a lot of Bully Ray just going over, over, and over. Women's division was crumbling, things like that. We were convinced that, you know, it wasn't a lost cause. There were ways to turn the ship around. And so we came up with this ongoing series that we called Restoring Honor, where each week we'd bring on a different person and get them and us to converse a little bit about some of the problems facing ROH. Tom Staupe came back on to talk about why ROH isn't reaching new viewers like him. We had Tyler Sage, who had been covering ROH for the Torch, to come on and talk about the TV model and how the TV and the Honor Club and the pay-per-views weren't lining up, and that was making disjointed viewing. And Megan came on to talk a little bit about representation in ROH and how that was failing its fans. A lot of the character tropes feel really outdated, and I'm not talking about just Silas Young.
Whose character trope is I'm outdated?
Yes.
Yeah,
but it's like it's interesting. Like even with that, the way they do it, like, is outdated. Like sure. with stuff like the Allure, where like the gimmick is obviously intentionally a throwback, they're not going about it in like a fresh or like even kind of vaguely interesting way, and it's frustrating.
Yeah, nothing is played for humor. Like, things that are supposed to be humorous don't really go over, and stuff that should be played as humorous ends up getting kind of played ridiculously straight. Everything down to what I complain about all the time with the street fights being kind of this, like, routine mix of the tables, chairs, ladders even, occasional, like, kendo stick, but, like, they don't even have any humor in the areas where they can insert it the most creatively and interestingly for the like the dynamics of the fight. So some of that like lack of freshness and lack of like youth appeal, I hate to kind of use that because it sounds so like markety and cheesy, but like I think it is kind of interesting that when we think of wrestlers and promotions that might have a viewership that is attracted to some of their like cooler, hipper young talent, ROH really doesn't have that, and they have young people on their roster.
Totally.
Someone like Bandido should be a huge, massive crossover star.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. But
he's getting his own action figure, but is that enough?
No.
They're not sold in a package that makes them seem like cool or flashy for a like teen or like adolescent audience. I actually been thinking about this a lot because I listened to the Marty and Sarah podcast and they had this just kind of joke, kind of like running question of like, who do the teens like? Like, what are the, like, who are the teens into, the wrestle teens? Like, who do they like? And they ended up getting answers from like friends, relatives, like kid friends that they have. And they're all wrestlers of like AEW and NXT. And, you know, that those are more youth savvy and promote more to that demographic than maybe ROH does.
Despite her best efforts, though, restoring honor, it just didn't work. It didn't do what Emily and I needed as fans. And by the fall of 2019, we were just completely burnt out on Ring of Honor.
Yeah, they're really just, it felt like every episode we were doing was just another rehashing of the things that we didn't like. And it, I don't know about you all, maybe some of you out there listening love, like live for and love to hate on stuff, but it just didn't bring out anything fun for me and Harley. And it started to feel like a chore and not something that we genuinely wanted to be doing each week. So I don't know. I am always of the mindset, I have a fallback mindset of like, oh, just keep doing what you're doing. It's fine. You got to do it. But Harley, sweet, wonderful, amazing, creative, brilliant Harley, had other plans for us, had other ideas. And I'm so glad that you did, because this is where we are.
It takes me a while to give up on a wrestling product, especially if it's one that you loved for so long, because you're always in the back of your head thinking things are going to turn around. I watched Raw weekly for years and years and years, not liking any of it, being frustrated every turn, but not wanting to give up because this is the show I'd grown up on since I was 8 years old. And it took a long time for me to cut ties with main roster WWE and with ROH and with Stardom. But eventually I just like, why are we watching things that we don't like? Why are we dedicating so much time to covering things that we're just finding a little boring? Why don't we cover something that like we actually enjoy talking about every week?
Go figure, right?
And we had three ideas, which again, I don't know if we've ever kind of revealed on air before, but we had three different ideas that we were toying with regarding what a new show could possibly be. Because we knew we still wanted to keep podcasting. And we knew we wanted to still keep doing this together.
Yeah. And we knew we wanted to cover something that wasn't already being actively covered by the Torch. So something that wasn't going to be like, you know, more coverage about WWE, more coverage about like, you know, even Impact or like other players that already had people spotlighting them. We wanted to go to ground that wasn't already covered.
I'd been huge into Stardom at this point in time. I was loving it. I was doing written reports. You were following a little bit on the fringes, but not too much. And I said, what if we do a Stardom show? This is your chance to get in on that.
Yeah, which was really exciting to me because I love an excuse. I kind of love an excuse to have homework. And Stardom is a promotion that I just never made enough time for. And that was a very enticing prospect for me.
Likewise, every week, you were watching Beyond Wrestling's Uncharted Territory. You were raving about how good it was, how fantastic it was. I hadn't committed yet. I was not familiar with Beyond. I was very new to the indies at this point in time. And it was a two-hour weekly show, which felt like a big commitment to me. But you said how good it was, and I thought, okay, maybe I could use this as a chance to get in on that ground floor as well.
Yeah, I mean, that would have given us a lot of conversations regarding the independent scene, because Beyond is such a pace setter for the independents in this region and beyond, and have definitely become the like, you know, de facto and an unofficial farm league for promotions like AEW. So it would have been really interesting to see and chart that evolution of where their talent was going from Uncharted Territory into AEW's rosters, etc. Because a lot of those players that you see in AEW now, they were really high profile figures in Uncharted Territory in seasons 1 and 2. But that's not where we ended up deciding to go.
I think we finally realized that the problem with Talking Honor had been we were tied down to one promotion. So if things started to go in a direction that we weren't that thrilled about, we're kind of handcuffed to them. And it could potentially be the same case with Stardom or Beyond, which a year later, I was bored of Stardom and I don't follow it anymore. And Beyond got hit hard by the pandemic. So I don't know what we would have talked about, you know, during the lockdown era of podcasting.
Yeah, we would have been left, like a lot of people, without a lot of active new stuff to cover. Although there is a part of me that always thinks like there's something you could do. You could watch old shows and things like that. But I think what we ended up with gave us a lot more room to grow.
Why not just go broad? Why not just do a whole podcast about women's wrestling? We love women's wrestling. The major promotions are starting to get on board, even if it's just for marketing and buzz points or whatever, even if they don't genuinely care about women's wrestling. They're promoting it. They're putting those words out there in the hashtags, things like that. And if we do something that broad, we can cover Beyond. We can cover Stardom. We can cover ROH if they ever decide to put some steam behind the women's division again. We can cover all these different places and promote something that we love and that we're excited to talk about week to week. So September 11th, 2019, Grit and Glitter was born.
9/11, never forget.
Hey Harley, remember the days when women's wrestling matches were relegated to the mid-card dumping ground and treated like a glorified intermission?
You mean the era when it was only men in the top spots in the main events, getting the biggest matches every night?
Yeah.
Vaguely.
Seriously, while we might have a long way to go, we really have come a long way, baby. And that's why we started Grit and Glitter, a podcast covering the best in the world of women's wrestling.
From the horsewomen of WWE to the goddesses of Stardom and everyone in between. Each Tuesday, Emily, myself, and our team of guest correspondents talk the best matches and the biggest news in women's wrestling.
Plus, interviews, deep dives, and discussions about everything from media representation to gear to women in behind-the-scenes roles.
Just search PW Torch in the podcast app of your choice to subscribe, or listen on demand and see the entire PW Torch Daily Cast schedule at pwtorchdailycast.com.
Now, from the early stages of Grit and Glitter, we were thinking about having a team of correspondents again, but we didn't jump into it right away, and the name The Glitterati did not appear for many months to come. When we started Grit and Glitter, we were still just starting fresh with a new podcast, you and me, trying some different things. Let's interview some wrestlers. We interviewed Molly McCoy, very first wrestler on Grit and Glitter. We did event coverage of different NXT TakeOver events and different things. We were very early in the start of AEW. I want to say our second episode of Grit and Glitter coincided with the first episode of Dynamite.
Yeah, and so if sometimes we hit on AEW a little less than others, we did do a lot of coverage of it in the early days. We just, like a lot of people, have gotten frustrated with their women, the way that the women's division has been booked, and or lack of booking and lack of time for the roster. So it's one of those things where, like, we learned early on that the whole reason of our show was to pivot from the things that we weren't enjoying to really be able to focus on the stuff that we were enjoying, the stuff that, like, was of curiosity and interest to us. So if you from week to week wonder, like, you know, why aren't they talking about, like, the women's event on Raw, or why aren't they talking about, like, the one match on AEW, like, it's because that's well covered, and we have made a commitment to delivering stuff that is of a special interest to us, and hopefully that you'll find it interesting too. So I always go back to that, just because I know that some people would love to hear more thoughts on some of the big products, but it's just, that's not where our passions lie. And the mission of this was always to maintain a focus on things that we genuinely are enjoying.
From day one as well, you advocated for covering and profiling women in all forms of wrestling, not just the in-ring performers, the referees, the commentators, people who make gear, people who make merch, all these different personalities, showcasing all of them. And so on Grit and Glitter episode 11, November 19th, 2019, we brought on two women who were really taking the wrestling merch scene by storm. One of them was Fleddy Buttlass, with her very cute wrestling drawings and charms and stuffed toys. And the other was Valerie Quartz, who was making gear for little plush Daryls.
Hello, this is Valerie Quartz of the Glitterati. Some might say the original member of the Glitterati. That some person being me. But seriously, we're about to do our 100th episode of Grit and Glitter, and I'm just so happy to be a part of this team. Grit and Glitter was the first podcast I was ever on, and I remember being really nervous, writing down way too many notes. I was first on it with my dear friend Ashley, or Flighty Buttless, as you guys know her online, the queen of cuteness and wrestling art and dolls. Yeah, we were on together to talk about our work, her with her doll making and me with my Daryl apparel for Tiny Daryls at the time. And we talked about how we met and how we co-worked in Austin and tabled together at StarCast. And yeah, I just remember that being really fun, even though I was really nervous. And after that, I got asked back a few times, especially when Em was having her baby and had maternity leave and all that. And I felt so trusted and so lucky that that Harley came to me and was like, hey, do you want to be my kind of fill-in co-host for a while? And I was like, are you sure? I don't know if I'm very good at this. And I feel like there's so much I don't know. And when those like hypotheticals hit me of like, oh, who would be your dream match for this? And who would be the perfect opponent for this match? I feel like I still have the thing where my head goes kind of blank, but I have gotten so much more comfortable just talking about what's important to me. And I think that's really the vibe here at Grit and Glitter. We're talking about wrestling that is important to us. And it might not be the most mainstream. It might not be what's going to get us the widest audience. But I think it's a really special thing we do here. And I'd like to think that we do it in a very positive, community-oriented way. And I'm just so thankful for my time on this show. And here's to 100 more episodes and beyond.
When did you both get into wrestling? I know I'm a fairly new fan. Harley's a fairly older fan. So, like, when did both of you get into wrestling?
Well, I think we're both also still, like, relatively new compared to other people.
Yeah, I just got into it about 3 years ago. My roommate at the time wanted to watch wrestling, and I was kind of like, okay, I'll watch your crazy wrestling. Mostly just like, it's an excuse to do something together. And, you know, our friends will get together and watch a thing. Started with WWE and was really instantly in love with Sammy and Kevin. And just like kept watching every week for that like celebratory moment where Kevin would like give Sammy a kiss on the cheek. And I was just like, oh, this is like so the opposite of tough guy, hyper masculine example that you think of with pro wrestling, and that's kind of where I was hooked.
How did you two meet? Did you meet through wrestling, or have you known each other prior to this?
No, we met through wrestling on wrestling Twitter, actually.
Oh, us too.
Oh, yes. I mean, that's how all of us, yeah. It's such a common experience now.
Yeah, it was funny. I was actually on a trip in, like, for a pretty long trip in Japan where I was there for, like, over a month. And I was there during the G1. I was following all that. And then I came across Ashley's art, and it was during all the Balloon Okada stuff. And I remember seeing some of her art about that. And I just loved it. Like, put it as like the background on my phone and everything. And then noticed that she was from Austin. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be back in Austin because that's where I live soon. And we should be friends.
Yes, she's so friendly. She just went right into my DMs and like we met up and then we were like instant best friends.
What's been your favorite looks to put together? I mean, not just in like Daryl apparel, but also like the cosplay that you do personally for wrestling is just, it's so great. So what's been some of the stuff that you've enjoyed putting together?
My magnum opus, my like piece is, I would say, my Rocky Romero replica jacket.
Oh,
It's so beautiful.
Thank you so much. In the like gold and black reversible sequins. And I like broke, like, I think the final needle count was like 9 or something. Just like sewing through all of the fabric. But I loved how that came out. But I would say the one I had most fun with was my Moxley cosplay, because I did like, you know, like a femme Moxley, and I made a sports bra with the barbed wire design that he has on his shorts, like also lining the bottom of the sports bra. And I got some fake barbed wire that's made out of like leather that looks like pretty realistic, and worked some of that in as well. So that was really fun. I felt like I got to be creative and have my own take on it in that sense. But everything else I've worked on has been commissions for people. So I've done some Jay White leggings and the Kenny Omega Riho version of the leggings that Howling Mask originally put together. And there are things that maybe I wouldn't have chosen to take on originally, but because somebody, there was a want for it and somebody like was really excited about it, I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, let's do that. And I love that part of creative work as well. When you get a commission for something where somebody else is excited for something and that starts that idea. That's not something that I've really experienced much in this capacity. You know, it translates from being a teacher where like, okay, what are the kids excited to learn about? So doing it in like a creative artistic capacity has been really fun. I've really enjoyed that. I am Valcano on Twitter. My Etsy shop you can find under the name Daryl Apparel. Apparel with a Y, like the name Daryl. And I'm starting to dip my toes into making gear for wrestlers. So please follow my Daryl Apparel Instagram or on Twitter for some of that.
I got to know both Flighty and Val via the Twitter sphere, specifically around like New Japan Pro Wrestling, but getting to know them and their like interest in and passion for pro wrestling and the ways that they were creatively portraying that to others and creatively sharing that with others just really inspired me and inspired my own like interest in wrestling and the things that we did with this show and just little projects I was doing on my own. And I love listening to this because like, you see how far they've come. I mean, Flighty has developed her work and has expanded her scope so much to involve so many different wrestlers and promotions and different art styles and different like merchandise ideas. And Val has transformed her passion for creating cosplay and costumes for Daryl's into doing what she thought about doing, which is, you know, actively making gear for wrestlers. And now she's like, Daryl Apparel is a highly sought after gear maker because of what she was able to like start with, of the creative ideas and the passion that she has for it, of the unique visions that she has. I don't know. It's so cool to go back and listen to this because you just see like how much more of a long-term ideas are here. And, you know, oftentimes we can say that like fandoms create like hobbies or passing fads or trends or passing creative fancies. But like, this has really become a labor of long-term love for both of these people.
After her first appearance on Grit and Glitter that November, Val came back in December as a presenter at the first Glitter Bombs and then returned again in February to co-host with me for the first time while Emily was away on maternity leave.
That's right. I brought a baby into the world during this whole process. And while I was gone, Val did amazingly, so much so that when I would listen to those episodes, I was both a little jealous and also like, maybe Harley and Val should just keep hosting this show.
Well, you being away on maternity leave for a couple of weeks opened up a couple different avenues because once again, here I was looking for guest hosts to run this podcast with me. Val joined me in February and March 3rd on Grit and Glitter episode 26. I brought on a person named J.R. Harris. J.R. at the time was also a Torch podcaster. He was podcasting for the Pro Wrestling Torch as part of their NWA podcast, 10 Pounds of Talk. I had connected with J.R. over Twitter. I knew they were covering the NWA. I knew they watched Stardom. And Stardom, because the pandemic had just hit at this point too, was doing their first no fans show, which was a big deal. They were doing no fan shows before AEW, WWE, a lot of these other places. And it was exciting. So I asked JR if they would come on that March 2020 episode to do a preview of Stardom No People Gate with me. And from that point, that I think is when the Glitterati really started to come together. We had Val, we had JR, we also had Emily Pratt, who had been contributing the show here and there as well, coming on as a guest for us, especially covering Joshi promotions in a way that you and I don't really have that familiarity with. And we also had married couple Andy and Charlotte Simmons, our Pro Wrestling Eve correspondents.
Aww.
Now, Emily Pratt is still doing wrestling media coverage, doing all sorts of things. She's out there. Follow her on Twitter for sure. Andy and Charlotte, Pro Wrestling Eve has been on hiatus since the pandemic started, and Andy and Charlotte kind of used that opportunity to take away a break away from social media too. They're still friends of ours. We're still connected on the fringes here and there, and who knows? Maybe they will return when Pro Wrestling Eve returns this fall.
Yeah, I give Andy and Charlotte a ton of credit because both of them were really new to podcasting, and I know that Charlotte especially shared some of the same anxieties I have about, you know, sounding professional and sounding good on podcasting. But they both did excellent jobs covering Eve. And I hope one day we'll be able to like talk with them again, because they're both great and very intelligent and fun to talk to.
But we had Val, we had JR, and a team was forming.
Grit and Glitter. Listeners, it is I, Chewy, JR, whatever you want to call me. I'm here to tell you about how much I've enjoyed being a part of Glitterati. It all started just before the pandemic when Harley hit me up and said, hey, you like stardom? I like stardom. Let's talk about stardom. Unfortunately, I love Utami and Julia, and Harley does not. So that's what kicked off our on-air feud ever since. And it's been quite a privilege to be able to haze and get a rise out of him when I can. Anyway, so yeah, being Glitterati, what has it done for me? I tell you, the intriguing part is it came just at a time where I was really unplugging from mainstream wrestling. And a lot of that's just because I like women's athletics and I wanted to focus more on women's wrestling. And this show offered that lens to just say, hey, we're going to talk about what you like to watch. And now we're going to give you the opportunity to talk with us about what you like to watch. And in turn, it's gotten me to watch even more independent wrestling, which has been a blessing. It's been a fun time. I've gotten to make good friends out of this. Like, that's... it's not something I usually look for. Like, I don't go around looking for new friends, but I oddly like these people. And it also came at a time where, you know, I was just really coming into grips with my own gender identity and telling my friends and family and being on a show with other queer people talking about wrestling. Like, it was just a welcomed change to my life, to where there's many times where, you know, you're fighting depression and you're fighting social anxiety and general anxiety and OCD, and my mind is always a prisoner within itself. But then there's these times where I can just let it go away and talk to Harley and Emily, or talk to Meg, or talk to Val Pancakes, even though nobody likes pancakes, but don't tell her that. And we could just talk wrestling, and then that can become a talk about anything else after that, just because you're in good company with the Glitterati. So, yeah, it's been a fun time. Plus, like, to me, nothing has reached the pinnacle of my life as being able to talk to Session Moth Martina. Like, I am a massive Session Moth Martina, and for them to organize it to where I could interview her for a birthday present leading into the St. Patty's show, like, how do you top that? That's just the good people Harley and Emily are, and I'm forever thankful for them. So this is a journey I look to continue. Like, I don't know what we'll be doing in a year, but I tell you what, it's going to be good, because we have a lot of creative and talented and smart people. So I think the future looks bright for Grit and Glitter.
Funnily enough, when I first debuted Martina at my home promotion in Dublin, OTT went off like everybody loved it straight away. They were like, oh, that's hilarious, Session Mot. Because obviously they all knew what a Session Mot was. Mm-hmm. So they got it straight away. And it became the most popular character on OTT. But a lot of the like kind of critical fans would kind of be like, yeah, it's a really good gimmick, but it has a shelf life and it won't last more than two or three shows. And it wouldn't translate internationally. But then as the year, that was like 2015, 2016. But then by the end of 2016, I had like really kind of boomed. And that's when England started calling and they started bringing me over. And before you know it, I was on all the big shows in England. And by the end of 2017, I'd been absolutely everywhere in that thing and asked to go to Japan. So, you know what I mean? It was kind of more like, because other countries started to get it. And I kept it fresh at home as well. As I said, I would always work on like doing creative and new things to try and stay relevant, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're going on 10 years in ring and and oh, however long was such, and it doesn't get stale. It translates, it absolutely affects audiences. They definitely respond to it.
Yeah, I hope so. Like, that's what I'm kind of hoping, that even this last year of everyone, like, obviously I've put up a lot of stuff on Twitter about just, like, drinking at home, because that's what everybody's doing. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of hoping that, obviously, like, post-corona, everyone's going to be a little bit more wild. Everyone's going to want to just have fun, you know, because it's been mm-hmm. such a hard year and a bit, that, like, I can almost even kind of leave a bit more of the serious session mock behind and go back to even more comedy and even more partying, just to kind of let loose again yeah. and bring a fun aspect back to wrestling. Do you know what I mean? I feel like yeah. everything's just been so serious this year that when things open up again, I just want to, like, I don't care anymore if, like, people are sick of it or people don't want it. I just want to have fun myself in wrestling. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try and bring that into the ring when I go back, because I feel like everybody just will want a break. They just want to let loose and have fun. And, like, I feel like people will get up and dance because we're going to be able to again. You know mm-hmm. that kind of way? Just yes, to celebrate absolutely. Our freedom again. You know what I mean? And, like, enjoy wrestling for what we love it for, which is having fun and an enjoyable pastime. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I keep thinking back to I've seen you live a couple of times, but I keep thinking back to a show during WrestleMania weekend of 2018. I think 2019
was like my breakout. Yes. That week was my breakout week, I always think.
And I was in the crowd for the Orange Cassidy show at that, just like that little, like, theater venue, and we're all packed yeah. like, elbow to elbow, and you and Nate Spider had that great drinking match, and
I absolutely loved it.
And I keep thinking about that show in general, because we're all just packed in, we're all just, like, standing elbow to elbow, everybody having at the time of their lives, just midday on a set.
It was at 11 a.m. It was 11 a.m. the last day, I think. It was, like, the last day of shows. Spring break was that night. Oh, my God. It was, and that was, like, I was genuinely exhausted by that point because I'd done so many shows. And I was coming up to the end of it, like, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm so tired. But then as soon as I went out for that show, it was, like, the electricity in that room was just unbelievable. Like, or even, like, I was at spring break then that night, and that's mm-hmm. when the girls did the, like, invasion at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget it, because, like, I remember when all the girls went out and I came out as well, there was just loads of session watch chants, and I was just, like, blown away. I was like, I cannot believe I'm at spring break here with all these, like, amazing women wrestlers, and I'm getting a session watch chant. Like, I should be unknown. It was just, that's one of my favorite memories of wrestling. That whole week was mind blowing to me.
But it's perfect. I mean, thinking that it's spring break, because, like, when I first saw session month, I was like, I don't know. Like, again, I'm American. I don't know what a session month is, but I immediately got who you were, because, you know, I used to go to Jersey Shore as a kid all the time. I'm like, I know 20,000 women just like her. Yeah. That it was like,
yeah, it's like Snooki from the day. That's where it originated. Like,
it's like, why hasn't Snooki. This been a character before? Because this is perfect.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. I'm kind of like, even that, I'm surprised. I was like, I know ODB and stuff like that has done, like, the drinking stuff and all that. But again, it's trying to put your own spin on it, you know?
I mean, I see every reason that Session Moth could be, like, the wrestler of post-pandemic world.
By June of 2020, Impact Wrestling was starting to get some good buzz going around their Knockouts division. We've been hearing a lot about Impact, and they were a total blind spot for us. We didn't watch Impact, we didn't follow the pay-per-views, we had no idea what was going on there. But we were hearing that they were doing intergender wrestling, we were hearing that the roster was almost 50-50 in terms of men and women, which was crazy for an American promotion as big as they are. So we went on Twitter and we said, we need to find somebody to be our Impact correspondent, somebody to inform us on this. We went looking, and I believe it was friend of the show, Lo McGrath, who sent Mayday our way.
That's right. Friend of the show, Lolo, helped us out and called in their friend Mayday. Honestly, how do we categorize Mayday at this point? Because Mayday has taken their fandom and following of pro wrestling and MMA into amazing territory by starting their own promotion, whose show recently aired on IWTV. Mayday is a skilled and talented artist and graphic designer and has an incredible vision for what pro wrestling can be. But our first introduction to them was talking about Deonna Purrazzo's arrival on Impact.
Hey, what's up? This is Mayday. Episode 100. That's ridiculous. I know most podcasts, the vast majority of podcasts, don't really end. They just sort of stop, and the creators just sort of give up. So to hit 100 is ridiculous. That's awesome. Congratulations. I know I was brought on fairly late into it because I think you just put out like an open casting call, so to speak, of we need someone who watches Impact, and nobody watches Impact. And I was like, I watch Impact. So I was brought on for Slammiversary, I want to say 2020, might have been 2019. I don't remember. One of the Slammiversaries. And I've been sort of covering Impact ever since, checking in occasionally on the weekly show, but mostly the pay-per-views. And it's been a blast. Being part of the Glitterati has definitely been a fun experience. Met a lot of new friends here. Not all of them in person yet, because, you know, the world ended there for a while. But still, made some really good friends here, and I'm excited to see where the show goes from here. And yeah, here's to the next 100.
So how long have you been following Impact?
Longer than it seems. I first started following them, I want to say 2018. I mean, I've been following them off and on just forever, I'm sure, as everyone else. Every so often an article will pop up and, oh, I'll click. But, like, I started following them, like, weekly in 2018. I remember very distinctly they had a free show on Twitch during WrestleMania weekend in New Orleans. So I think that was 2018. And for whatever reason, I'm like, whatever, free show. I'll give it a shot, see what's going on. And it was a great show. And, you know, be sure to tune in next week at whenever they were running. I think it was Friday. So I was like, all right, I'll check it out. And then I just kept going. And here we are in 2020, and I'm still watching Legally.
What drew you into the promotion, aside from it being a free show? Like, what keeps you, in general, what kind of keeps you watching?
Literally is what drew me in was, hey, free show. And then it was an amazing free show. And that's what drew me in. What keeps me in is, as you mentioned earlier, they have not quite 50-50 roster with gender parity. And I'm a big, big fan of women's wrestling to the point that I kind of barely keep up with whatever feuds are going on in the men's division. Like, those are my fucking break matches.
Deonna was a favorite of ours back when this podcast used to be specifically about Ring of Honor. After we ended that, obviously we got to branch out to women's wrestling, but we haven't gotten to talk about Deonna a whole lot in recent months because NXT kind of buried her. Yeah. She wasn't doing anything with WWE, really. They weren't doing anything with her, rather. And
only pop up to lose a squash match. Like, that was it.
Which is insane. The Women of Honor division was built on a couple of women who were, like, early on in the run of Ring of Honor, but its actual, like, modern incarnation in the last couple of years is very much owed in a big way to Deonna Purrazzo. She's, like, got technical prowess. She's got a great look. Like, there's nothing to lose here with this wrestler, and yet she was totally buried in WWE. So it's exciting to get to, like, see Deonna featured somewhere. And I think that she's a great addition to the Impact Knockouts roster because she just adds something. She adds another flavor to their list. She adds a technical catch wrestling ability.
Yeah, she's like the female Bret Hart. Like, she's extremely technically sound and, like, very focused, for lack of a better term. Like, her character is just, she's really good at wrestling.
Yeah, and I think she has the type of, like, in-ring and out-of-ring personality and work that she can really go heel or face very easily. And that kind of reminds me a little bit of, like, Bret Hart, too, in that, like, no matter what, she's completely competent in-ring. Like, you're always going to enjoy what you see there. Everything else is just added appeal.
She's one of the rare ones, again, like Bret Hart, who, like, whether you can be face or heel or switch back and forth, and the character doesn't really change at all. And I'm not sure how they do that, but she's really good at it. Sometimes it'll be like a cartoon, you know, went from rescuing kittens to setting them on fire. But, like, Deonna Purrazzo is, like, this fundamentally the same character, whether she's face or heel.
It's a real big strength to have.
Yeah, it is.
And Impact's brought in a bunch of new women over the past couple of months. That's
really
the reason we're doing this segment.
Yeah.
But Deonna got the biggest hype out of all of them, right? Like, they were really building her up. Like, I saw all these graphics online advertising her debut.
Push up the most recent signings. Like, they did little introductory packages, and they had, like, whole, you know, the Virtuosa is coming, .. And, you know, she appears, and she immediately takes out Jordan Grace with an incredibly smooth armbar. Like, try and find the gif. It's ridiculous. But, yeah, everyone else, they just sort of, like, popped up and like, look, it's whoever, she's with Impact now, yay. But like Deonna Purrazzo, they built her up.
By July 2020, the glitterati was in full force, and like the blob in the infamous horror movie, we were just growing, expanding, just sucking in anybody on the fringes, anybody on the periphery.
And in some cases, a person who I feel like has a really big Twitter presence and an independent wrestling social media presence, Val Pancakes. I had become friends with Val Pancakes via the wrestling Twitter sphere, and felt like every time I was following any kind of independent promotion, especially anything on IWTV, Pancakes was right on it, tweeting about it, following it, watching everything up to date, staying up to date on all of the shows coming out, no matter how many there were. And I was like, this is a lady that we need to have on this show.
July 28th, 2020, G&G episode 47, Val Pancakes debuts to cover Beyond Wrestling with us. And from there, yeah, Val's become one of our big indie correspondents, going to shows like The Collective, broadcasting live on location for us there.
Hey, it's Val Pancakes. I did my first episode in July of 2020 because M asked me if I wanted to talk about a Beyond show because of how much I love IWTV. About a year in, I was and am honored to be a part of the glitterati. Lifting up so many talented women, non-binary, and LGBTQIA plus wrestlers and other in-ring talent has been amazing, as has getting to know my fellow glitterati members. My favorite segment has been the one I did of things post, or I guess during, the Collective in Indiana in October. I recorded it from outside the venue and was able to do a rundown of women's matches to catch. The best part was how many shows put women in those matches. So here's to the start of my second year with such a talented group of individuals. As always, I'm just happy to be here.
This is Val Pancakes checking in from The Collective. It's been a busy weekend of 12 shows featuring some of the best talent in the indies. This year featured a lot of inclusivity. 11 of the 12 shows featured women in singles matches, tag matches, scrambles, intergender matches, and the infamous Cluster F match at Spring Break. Highlights for me were, as of this recording, right after the Shimmer Show, Alley Cat versus Davian at Southern Underground Pro Swing the Axe, Bay Jackson versus Devon Monroe versus Marty Bell versus Willow Nightingale at GCW's For the Culture, Team C-Stars versus AC Mac and Ashton Starr from GCW's Effie's Big Gay Brunch, Layla Hirsch versus Josh Alexander at Black Label Pro's Threat Level Noon, and The Bird and the Bee, which is Solo Darling and Willow Nightingale, versus the team of Kayla Cassidy and Sierra from Shimmer 118. I cannot wait to see what happens in the next year as the indies keep coming back. The more fans demand women talent, the more they'll book. Keep supporting women's independent wrestling.
I couldn't be happier to have Pancakes on the team, and I believe that she has been able to grow her interest in fashion for pro wrestling into all kinds of opportunities, whether it's podcasting with us, podcasting with others, even doing ringside commentary. I'm so excited for her, and I know that you couldn't find a better or more true wrestling fan. So I'm glad that she is one of our glitterati.
By this time 1 year ago, our coverage of the indies was really ramping up as well. We got huge into the indies during the lockdown era. September 15th, 2020, Grit and Glitter episode 54, Meg Fair joins the team, coming on to take a look at Uncanny Attractions. And even last night, that's less than a year ago. But at the time that we were covering that, I had never heard of Envy Young or Billy Dixon. I didn't know what Uncanny Attractions was. And so it's so funny that we only met Meg 10 months ago, because it feels like such a strong friendship now.
I mean, you're telling me, Meg lives in my city. Like, this is a person who I have probably passed by and inhibited in some of the same spaces in prior to the pandemic. And this is a person who shares a passion for pro wrestling like I do, shares a passion for the independence, is into the music and the queer scenes in this city. And I am just so fortunate that this little project of ours brought us together even closer. And now I'm psyched to call them a member of the glitterati and also a dear friend.
I'm Meg Fair, and I am a member of the Grit and Glitter glitterati. I am so excited to be a part of Grit and Glitter and very proud of 100 episodes in. I love this podcast both as a listener and a participant, because it is so fun to be a part of a community of people who are passionate about pro wrestling and women's wrestling and wrestlers that don't fit the mold. And it's just magical to be a part of a band of really cute misfits who are into fun things. I definitely have found community and confidence and so much joy in being a part of the Grit and Glitter team. And I'm excited for 100 more episodes, if that's something that they're excited about too.
In a sport like wrestling that has historically been like so gender divided, I think the addition of non-binary performers is like kind of a really interesting angle, so to speak.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think even just the ability to get new wrestling fans in the door is really important. And I think that some of the best ways that I've gotten people into it is by being around my other queer friends and my trans friends and non-binary people and being like, oh, well, there's wrestling and the wrestlers are like us, so we should watch this and like see what you think, because I think people's expectations are so gendered in the way they think about wrestling if they're not familiar with it.
Totally. I think that's a good point, because it's like majority of my friends are queer. Yep. Like majority, pretty large majority. And it's like, honestly, I feel like I sometimes, especially for like, you know, even if it's in like a conversational setting or maybe I'm meeting their other queer friends, like when it comes up that I'm a wrestling fan, I feel like sometimes I get like weird looks, like people like question that, because I think like historically in like the pop culture sense, people like think of wrestling as such a macho, like masculine, like kind of regressive, like just like base level, like a kind of form of entertainment. And so it's awesome now that there is like, especially in independent wrestling, obviously, like mostly in independent wrestling, but I think it's amazing that there's so many other types of wrestlers and other types of wrestling programs that I can like bring to them and show them and say, hey, no, it's not just, you know, Mae Young giving birth to a hand. You know what I mean?
100%. Yes.
Actually, this whole crazy world of queer wrestling that like you should be paying attention to. And even if you aren't paying attention, and even if like you don't want to, even if you aren't specifically just looking at like queer wrestling, there's enough queer people in independent wrestling in general now that there's like representation in like pretty much like every major independent company.
Yeah, which is so, so exciting.
I feel like this Pride Month in specific, I have seen like a lot of wrestlers come out and I am just loving the energy.
Oh, it's so magical, because I feel like in all of these situations too, like I'm seeing people come out and I am seeing this overwhelming support and encouragement and cheerleading from other wrestlers, from fans, and it just feels so magical and so powerful to be able to like see that validation happen in such like a big way.
100%. It's like, you know, even people who aren't coming, it's like I see when you see so many prominent names like in the independent wrestling community being supportive of these people coming out, I know at least for me myself, it makes me feel more comfortable at shows, because it's like, I just think it like shows like how open and safe that the environment is growing and becoming.
Yeah. 100%. It makes walking in the door feel that much safer for fans as well.
And something that I think is really cool too about like everybody that we just mentioned on this list is like, you can watch a match from any wrestler on this list, and you should, by the way, they're all good, and you would not really see any kind of like replication in like style, whether it's in ring or aesthetically. And I just think it's like really cool to show that, like, you know, being non-binary is truly that. It's like beyond the binary in like kind of every sense of the word. All of these performers have their own unique style and ability that they bring to wrestling.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. It's like all of these people are gender outlaws as well as being in-ring outlaws, in that they just are such a myriad of styles, and a lot of them are super, super flexible in range too.
Former Talking Honor correspondent Megan Nielsen first appeared on Grit and Glitter, episode 2, way back in September 2019, Megan was going to be our WWE main roster correspondent on Grit and Glitter, telling us what was happening on Raw and SmackDown and the big pay-per-views because we were not watching them at the time. And Megan came on, episode 2, right at the start of Grit and Glitter as well, carrying over from Talking Honor with us. But very quickly, I think Emily and I realized that we don't care what's happening on Raw or SmackDown. Apologies if you are a huge fan, you're loving what's happening over there right now. It's just not for me. There's so many other things I'd rather be talking about than Clash of Champions or whatever the latest WWE pay-per-view is.
Yeah, and again, like, if you want coverage on that, there are there's a mile-long list I can send you of many, many other podcasts and other YouTube shows and et cetera that cover it in better detail and with better insight than we could ever dream to. So if you need that list, let me know. But chances are you're already listening to those shows. So we are what we are.
So after that second episode, we fell out of touch with Megan a little bit. But finally, over a year later, they returned for Grit and Glitter episode 62, November 10th, 2020. They came on to talk about AEW. And they stuck around. And with that, the Glitterati, as we know it today, was complete. Me, Emily, JR Val, Meg Megan, Mayday, and Val Pancakes.
That's how you got your Avengers, folks.
Hey, it's Megan, and I feel so excited and honestly thankful to be here for episode 100 of Grit and Glitter. I've known Harley and Emily since back in the Ring of Honor podcast days, and I'm really lucky that they valued my insight enough to ask me to come along for this amazing, wonderful ride that has been Grit and Glitter. I think that the pod has done such cool things to highlight women's wrestling, and not just women's wrestling, but kind of esoteric or marginalized wrestling in general. I think it's an amazing platform that's really done some good. And kind of in that vein, like, while I'm thinking of my favorite moments from the pod, I'm going to have to say it was my recent interview with Mariah Moreno about Paris's bumping. While it's a bummer that her match with Ida Surreal did not get to happen at the event, the insight that I gleaned from that conversation with her and just, like, hearing her experience and, like, getting to have some understanding and compassion for what she went through really was enlightening to me and special, and has to have been one of my favorite moments on the pod. I loved interviewing Erica Lee. I loved getting to write about Becca versus Davian. I loved all of those things. But speaking to Mariah, I think, was something really special that reflects the true spirit of Grit and Glitter. Happy 100!
Would you say that, like, being part of, like, the queer community has been, like, a really valuable or important part of your life?
You know what? Now it's very, very, it's more valuable. I cherish it. You know, when I start getting more experienced in wrestling, I did get some negative reactions from the community. So I kind of shied away from them.
Oh, really?
The time started to change where things were becoming offensive. And, you know, sometimes you say you do something and years later it comes back to haunt you. So the whole Amanda character came back to haunt me. Mm. You know, and then during that time, I had a negative attitude, I guess, where I was just like, fuck you, you know, and I would sit there and argue back with people. And I was super naive, super, super naive. So I didn't care. You know, I was just like, well, fuck you guys. If you guys don't like what I do, then don't fucking watch me. You know, don't pay attention. Stay off of YouTube. Stop searching me. So I kind of just stopped. You know, I felt abandoned by the community. I felt like I had nobody had my back. So I just kind of just wasn't really about the community for a while there. Probably in the last 3 years, I felt the love from the community. So I wish that the negative parts never happened. You know, but there's always those people who are conservative, or not in a sense conservative, but less, they don't like offensive stuff, you know?
Yeah, and they have, like, more of a specific point of view of what they want to see. I know what you're saying. Yeah. Well, then does that make it kind of really cool to almost get rediscovered, quote unquote, like, in a sense, by, like, a more current generation of, like, queer fans, especially, like, on Twitter, and, like, embraced by, like, the community, or people like Billy Dixon, who are now, like, putting you, like, in this bigger profile? Is that almost sweeter because of some of the, like, harder times you had in the past?
Definitely. Definitely. I, for a second there, was thinking that I was forgotten, you know, and my work was forgotten. I know I'm not the best wrestler or the best trans worker in the world, but, you know, like I did a lot in the early days. You know, I'm one of the first to be on TV and do pay-per-views and travel the world. And if not the actual first, you know, the first to win a championship in any sport. And I feel like that accomplishment, which is huge for my community, was forgotten. It's not relevant anymore. I felt like, hey, you know, that's usually, you know, the firsts are usually the first to be forgotten. So
yeah.
I kind of was, okay, that's where I'm at. Well, you know what? I'm back in wrestling and I'm going to try and make them remember. And I obviously couldn't do it by myself. And I'm so thankful for Billy and for everyone that still has faith and believes in me. You know, believes in me, because that's huge, and that's what's giving me motivation. All these new generation wrestlers now are giving me motivation and are very inspiring to my career now more than ever, because I want to be a part of everything that they do. I didn't have any of this, you know, I didn't have any of this when I first started, and I was all by myself.
Previous episodes of Grit and Glitter are available from our Patreon, patreon.com/gritglitterpod. If you subscribe at the $10 tier, you get complete ad-free archives of the first 4 seasons of Grit and Glitter, all those early episodes in their entirety. You want to hear us covering the first episode of Dynamite. You want to hear us talk to so many of the greats in the indie wrestling universe, and the merch makers, and the referees, and the promoters, and everybody else. If you want to hear in their entirety, the first appearances on this podcast of Meg and Megan and all the rest, patreon.com/gritglitterpod.
Yeah, remember, subscribing to our Patreon allows us to give money right back to the wrestling that we love, that you love, that fuels the independent wrestling scene. So please help us help them by supporting us on Patreon at the $1, $5, $10 level. Lots of great perks there. It's not just for me and Harley to spend on exotic ferrets. It is for you to get more of the wrestling that you enjoy. So consider subscribing, patreon.com/gritglitterpod.
One of our subscribers on Patreon, one of our biggest supporters from day one and before, as he says in his email, is Pittsburgh's Andy Stoll. Andy writes, Mazel tov. What a great ride of 100 episodes. I've been a fan of Harley and Emily since the days of Talking Honor, and yins keep going stronger each and every episode. Through your podcast, my world of wrestling has opened up to so many interesting promotions, and I'm discovering new wrestlers each and every week. You always have great suggestions for matches or movies and all sorts of different media. I'm so looking forward to your interview with Jaime Hernandez and all things you have in store for the future. I'm so glad you have a Patreon, as the bonus content on there is quite wonderful. Here's to a million more episodes.
Oh, come by, Andy. Andy is a Pittsburgh wrestling fixture. He is a fantastic gentleman and a huge supporter of us and many other people. Is just you couldn't ask for a better cheerleader than Andy Stoll. And we're just so grateful for your time, Andy. You are a credit to wrestling fans everywhere.
This Friday, Megan's home promotion in Maine, Limitless Wrestling, presents Leave No Doubt, featuring Layla Hirsch versus Ashley Vox, Matt Cross versus Alec Price, and a whole lot more. This Sunday, Camp Leapfrog is going live with fans for the first time on IWTV. It's Abby Jane's 21st birthday extravaganza, featuring Jordan Blade, Masha Slamovich, Yokai, the Outfielders, and of course, Abby Jane herself. Also on Sunday, it's IWTV 100, the 100th defense of the IWTV Championship, Wheeler Yuta versus Daniel Garcia. Also, huge match, huge. Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander versus Lee Moriarty and Trish Adore.
I coughed, I choked when I saw that match announcement. That's IWTV 100 is going to be a hot, hot, hot show. Look for us featuring it on our newsletter. I'm sure I'll be talking about it. I can't wait to see this match. I cannot wait to see this match. Also, hot boy battle between Wheeler Yuta and Daniel Garcia. Hello.
And as Andy revealed to you moments ago, next week on this show, we kick off our next 100 episodes. Emily and I are chatting with legendary cartoonist Jaime Hernandez. If you follow comics, if you follow alternative comics at all, You know of the Hernandez brothers. You know of Love and Rockets. Love and Rockets has been going for almost 40 years. Women's wrestling, punk rock, all that stuff has been ingrained in Jaime's stories. And he has a new book out now from Fantagraphics called Queen of the Ring, collecting wrestling sketches from over the past 40 years. We got a chance to chat with Jaime about his new book, about 40 years of Love and Rockets, about his love of women's wrestling. If you don't follow alternative comics, if you're not familiar with Love and Rockets, I don't know if there's anything I can say to really underscore how momentous this is for us. But if you do follow alternative comics, like Megan, like Andy, then you know that us getting to have Jaime on this show is ridiculous.
I get goosebumps just thinking about it. The Locust comics, the Love and Rockets Locust storylines with Maggie and Hoppy, like, they hit me at a point in my life that I desperately needed art like that. And getting to talk to Jaime Hernandez is, it's a dream come true, honestly. And it's a dream that is 100 episodes of Grit and Glitter in the making. So here's to 1,000 more episodes, and especially to episode 101, because it's going to be a good one.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting us through these 100 episodes. Thank you to Val, JR, Meg, Megan, Mayday, and Pancakes. Thank you to Andy and Charlotte and Emily and Tom, everybody who's ever been on the show, everybody who's ever followed us on Twitter or wrote a theme song for us or drew a logo for us. I like to think of myself as a skilled writer, but I can't put into words how important this show has been to me and to my life. It's given me a community that I haven't had in a long time. It's made me feel connected to other people and given me, you know, something purposeful to work towards every week, something that I enjoy doing and something that I feel accomplished doing, because we finish these episodes and we post them online and they're there and people can see them, listen to them, and respond to them in a way that, you know, I wouldn't have if I was writing a novel and it was just sitting on my computer or doing different other forms of art. It's just, it means so much to me to connect with all these people about something that I'm so passionate about, something that I cared about. I've been a wrestling fan my whole life, and I never had this community until the last couple of years. I spent all my teens, my 20s, just enjoying wrestling by myself in the dark and having nobody to discuss it with. And now getting to talk to wrestlers, getting to be friends with wrestlers and other people who love wrestling as much as I do, it's so meaningful to me. And none of it would have happened without all of this, without all of this coming together, without the Pro Wrestling Torch, without Wade Keller, without Grit and Glitter, without independent wrestling, and without Emily Fear.
In the last couple of years, I have found myself through my passion for pro wrestling, and it is because of this show that I've been able to really stay connected with that world, even as my personal world, my personal family, my actual biological family grew. I was able to maintain a loving and connected friendship and a kinship with the people that I create this show with, and with the people who listen to this show, and with the people we've worked with, and especially you, Harley. So I am grateful, because this has been a challenging year and a half, I know, for a lot of people. It's been a challenging several years for many people, and I'm glad that we can see through all of these challenges together. And looking forward to the future, knowing that more challenges lie ahead, it gives me strength, and I know that it gives all of us strength to be together and to have each other's backs. So yeah, here's to moving forward and continuing this great work with you, Harley, and with all of you listening.
This week, particularly exciting, because my co-host this week is making her Pro Wrestling Torch podcast debut, and her name is Emily Fear.
Hey, Harley, how's it going?
So, Miss Emily, why don't you tell our listeners a bit about yourself, how your wrestling story, as it were?
Well, I was a secret wrestling fan whenever I was probably like 12 or 13 years old. That was during like the mid to late 90s. So we're talking like Attitude Era, when it probably wasn't like the most friendly for like a 12-year-old girl to be interested in. So it was kind of a difficult thing, because I liked watching it, but then being around like boys in school who liked wrestling was always a little tough, because
their attitudes towards me and like most other girls in general, like kind of just reaffirmed all the like the worst stereotypes about wrestling. Whereas at home, I got to watch it like disconnected of that, and it was always great. But I kind of backed away from it for a few years, for several years. And then recently, just due to kind of different circumstances, I just really got right back into it. My husband went back into a deep dive into all the stuff that's been happening in the last year with wrestling, especially Ring of Honor, reconnecting with his love of Ring of Honor. And so we started there, and we started catching up on New Japan and all the arcs there. So that's kind of where I'm at now. So since about January of this year, I've been regularly following Ring of Honor as well as a couple other feds, and just keeping track of the different storylines and wrestlers a part of them.